Good morning, everyone.
Thank you, Vicki. Lovely. Indeed. That's the one we're going to do as a duet. You've got a treat coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who came out this morning to receive your precious word. It has come to us at a great price, at a great cost, though it's free for the taking. Come to the waters and buy without money. Buy wine, milk, and honey. Father, we just thank you that in your word, or that your word, is a blessing box filled with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. As we look at this some passages in Ephesians chapter 1, blow us away. Bless our socks off with the things that we probably have heard before but didn't fully realize. Give us that realization today by the Holy Spirit who teaches us deep within. Lessons and messages and the word that we can't forget. I pray this today for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ in his matchless name. We gather together in his presence. Amen. I've entitled the message this morning, The Blessing Box. Did you know you have a blessing box? It contains every spiritual blessing in the heavenly spheres or realms, Eperonios, which means in or upon heavenly, which means that its source and origin is heavenly. Every blessing source and origin is heavenly. Every blessing source and origin is Christ, who is the one that put those blessings there. The Father, Son, and Spirit, before the world began, before the foundations of the earth were laid, every blessing was placed in a box for you. So let's get started. Sunday, April 18th, 2021. Now it's time, I say, to slow down. We've been moving way too fast. You say, you have? Yes. Way too fast. Slow down, you move too fast. We have to make the morning last. It's time to slow down and get the mystery deeply ingrained in the three chambers, faith, hope, and love, and seven compartments of our soul's stream of consciousness. Do you remember, anybody remember that diagram? I'm not going to show you this morning. It freaks people out. So much in it. But you do well to get that and to study that. And you can see the process of the Word, how the Word gets from the page to the fleshly tables of your heart, where it's available for application and love. Faith is the perception or apprehension of Bible doctrine. Hope is the assimilation of Bible doctrine. And love is the application of Bible doctrine. It's faith, hope, and love. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Not wood, hay, and stubble, right, Eddie? Not wood, hay, and stubble. We don't want no wood, hay, and stubble. That burns up. And you'll have to go sit with the losers. You don't want to do that. Here we are with another opportunity to take in the Word of God and to open the blessing box once again. So, Ephesians, we're going to do Ephesians. I call the series Ephesians Again because there's so much in it that we've never touched on. And there's a lot of things that need to be reiterated, repeated, until some of yous get it who haven't gotten it yet. And I say that for myself. I include myself also, so don't worry. Don't think I know everything, because I don't know anything as I ought to know it. That's one thing that I've discovered. One thing I know for sure is I don't know anything as I ought to. But I press on, and so do you. So Ephesians is what I call the doctrinal treatise of mystery truth. That which pertains to a secret society. To secret society. You're in a secret society. Commonly known as the church. But secretly known as the body of Christ. It's a secret society. You're in the body of Christ. Oh, what a wonderful place to be and belong, to identify yourself with. Those who belong to the body of Christ, secret society, know who they are. They know all about who they are. They know who they are and whose they are. Those who don't can, if they want to. They can join in if they want to. All it takes is availability, desire, and the Lord provides everything else. He provides spiritual dynamics, the power of the Word and the Spirit combined, that'll bring you in and bless your socks off. I asked if we would have our socks blessed off today. And so hold on to your socks. There we go. As the great body of truth, the mystery that it contains, the great body of truth it contains, the great secret of godliness. What's godliness? Godliness is devotion to the grace, devotion to the glory of God by grace. That's what godliness is. Eusebia. It's good worship. Devotion to the glory of God by pure grace. Not by doing things for the Lord, but by receiving all that He has for you. All that He's done for you. You know, it is finished. Everything's been done and completed and accomplished on your behalf by Christ. So it's your relationship with Christ that makes all that yours. It's your communion with the Lord. Conversation. Association with Him that brings that blessing to bear in your own soul, in your own life. In your own blessing box. The blessings are already there. You just don't know that they're what's in it. We're going to find out today a little bit about it. And then go on to learn a lot more about it as time goes on. So, the mystery is the shocking news, first and foremost, of the true identity of Jesus. What do you mean, the true identity of Jesus? That He's God. Did you know that? All the cults say He's not. He is. He's Almighty God. He's Wonderful Counselor, name and title for the Holy Spirit. He is Mighty God, or Almighty God, Everlasting Father. Huh? And Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father. We're going to learn about the Father today, what the Father does in the Son, and sends in sending the Son, and being manifest by the Son. For no man has seen God the Father at any time but the Son. He has exegeted Him. Right, Terry? Exegeomai. Exegeted Him. And then He eulogeo. Spoke well of you because of your association with the Son. He eulogized you. That means you're dead, right? Yeah, you died with Christ. He eulogized you. We'll get there. I'm taking my time. I said, we got to slow down. We're going too fast. We have to make this morning last. So, first and foremost, it is the true identity of Jesus. You say, you said that and taught that so many times. Well, I want people to really get that. You see, to enter the secret society, you have to know who He is. Who Christ is. It's called the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. In Romans 16:25. So young people that are here that don't understand what I'm talking about, just hang in there. You'll get it. That's the way the word is. Everybody says you got to make it really simple for the people so that they understand the simple stuff. I said, guess what? You can't. Because it's spirit born and spirit taught. You have to be theodidactoi, God taught. Every one of us must be God taught. You must be God taught. Just as all scripture is God breathed. You have to be God taught. Theonoustos, God breathed. Theodidactoi, God taught. God has to teach you. God has to show you. God has to learn you some lessons. God learned me, now I know. That's slang for He taught me, He learned me. He learned me some lessons. Anyway, so, the body of Christ, the truth about Christ, who He really is, and the truth of the body of Christ. Not the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Some people want to hold on to that bride of Christ thing. The body of Christ is far better to belong to that fraternity. The body of Christ, part and parcel of the bridegroom, not the bride, which is Israel. Revealed in the Old Testament, therefore, it cannot belong to the mystery, which is all that is unique, distinct, and unprecedented, belonging to church age believers only in this era, from the sending of the Spirit to the taking away, taking out of the Spirit, in the rapture or harpazo. Exit resurrection of the church. So, the true identity of Jesus and our true identity, those who are in Christ, as body parts of His, in a new presentation of Jesus Christ, who dwells within each one for the purpose of being manifest simultaneously in every place around the world. You say, well, I can't see Christ in me. Well, others do, even if you don't. And there's just something about you. There's just an aura there, something that's different about you. And other people see it. I remember even when I was behaving so badly as a believer and returned to places where everyone knew my name. They said to me, you don't belong here. I said, the heck if I don't. I cursed. The heck if I don't. They said, you don't belong here. Go home. You don't want to be like us. I said, but I am like you. I'm no different than you. They go, no, you're not. So finally, I listened to them when the Lord took me out. And took me out of a horrifying pit that I dug for myself and set my feet upon a rock once again. And here I am. He's so faithful. Until I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept His word. So, by the way, congratulations to Greg Seligman. 2 years clean and sober. Praise the Lord! It's a wonderful thing. We're so glad you're here, brother. And God has wonderful things in the future for you. Some of them might even have something to do with us here. Who knows? You know, I'm not going to live forever. Somebody has to take over for me. Terry's too old. So am I. He's going to the Bahamas, he told me this morning, to preach. Not to the down and outers, to the up and outers. The rich and famous. There's lots of money for preachers down there, I think. I think it's probably the number one profession down there, isn't it? In the Bahamas? No, I don't think. Bartender is. Anyway. So, in 1 Timothy 3:16... the first feature of the mystery of godliness is the manifestation in the flesh. That's all it says is, it's as great as the secret of godliness, manifest in the flesh. It doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh, although that is inferred, directly inferred. And it's manifestation in the flesh, which is not only the incarnation of Christ, putting on a body of humiliation and a body of flesh. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, but also the indwelling of Christ in the body of Christ, in the body of each one who has believed in Him as God and Savior. Like the rest of the features of the great mystery of godliness, in 1 Timothy 3:16, what is true of Christ is true of me and you. Manifest in the flesh for all to see and know, to be seen and known by those who come in contact with you and with me, with the one in whom Christ dwells. I found out once again this week something that I've known all along, but you forget about every once in a while, and that is this. Believers have serious problems of their own making, but serious nonetheless. Not unlike those, the problems of those who are in the world without Christ because they leave home without Him. The reason is, and I mentioned this briefly, they forget who they are. Moreover, whose they are. They forget. In a moment of weakness, fear, or boredom brought on by the cessation of circulation and spiritual atrophy that results,
from inactivity, poor diet, lack of exercise. They're not exercising themselves unto godliness, not taking in the word regularly, daily, first thing each morning. It's only going to end bad if you don't. And I guess some of you have discovered that by now. And others still need to be persuaded. So what they do is, they take the car keys and speed off to a familiar place where everyone knows their name. Been there, done that. Got the mugs and the t-shirts to prove it. Climbing up onto the stool reserved in their name, they order a small glass and then a big one. You know what I mean. Next thing they remember is looking out of a cage through bars and sleeping on a dirty mattress with strangers all around. Anybody can relate to that? Not in this place. Thank God. Quite a contrast with the loving companionship and edifying rapport, spiritual fellowship with Christ in the body of Christ, where their contribution, their portion, is considered precious and valuable. Man, come on home. And now it seems to them, possibly, that they've thrown it all away. But the beauty is, they haven't, because they can't. If they do it 70 times 7, they can't throw it away. Don't you know? Jesus said it, not me. Peter said, I'll forgive him 7 times. Jesus said 70 times 7, which is an idiom for unlimited times. Long as they come to themselves and their senses and confess, then they're purified from all unrighteousness. Their self-inflicted injury and self-induced misery, along with psychic pain and divine discipline, should be enough to turn them around once again to recognize the error of their ways. They just needed to be reminded that whatever they sow, that they shall surely reap in kind. Sowing to the Spirit produces life and peace, the pleasant fruit of righteousness, even as sowing to the flesh produces a harvest of what? Corruption. It does. But then again, it's high time to stop taking detours. It doesn't help you. It slows everything way down. It only impedes your steady progress. So with this in view, let's get to the secret. The secret of the true identity of Christ, who is God in the flesh, and the body of Christ, who is manifest in the flesh of those who are His. This is the essence of the great secret and the dynamic spiritual life it imparts. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. I want to introduce you to a really, really important person, Paul, and Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus in Paul. Ephesians 1:1. Paulos. Used to be Saulos, but now he's Paulos. Better call Paul, not call Saul, if you ever saw that program. Better call Paul. And God did call him. Set him apart from his mother's womb. He might reveal his son through Paul. So he says, Paulos, an apostle. Apostolos, Paulos Apostolos, Christi Jesus, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Then he says, through or by or because of the will of God. Paul's blessing box had this in it. This was one of his blessings, that he would be an apostle, a gift or blessing from God. Paul's appointment was not an afterthought, but was the will of God from all eternity, long before there was a Saul of Tarsus, or an earth, or anyone on it. as was yours and mine. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Scripture declares it every which way. You were known and blessed before anything existed, before there was a place for you to live. Long before man and angels were created, God laid up a blessing box for you. We're going to see it. I just want to remind you where we're going. But the good news is, God has given yet another opportunity today and every day to solidify your self-estimate based on the body of identity truth, to be the man or woman that no longer strays or reverts, but rather progresses, running with perseverance the race that is set before them by fixing one's eyes on Jesus, the author or founder and finisher of faith's marathon race in Hebrews 12:2. I know whereof I speak, because for years I strayed, and until I was stricken with the most serious affliction, I went astray. But now I've kept his word. And now I can help you and advise you, having been there and done that myself. Evidently, the psalmist of Psalm 119, it's not David, knew this very well and writes about it. Now we're still in Ephesians 1, but I just want to refer back to this. Psalm 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Something happened, and now I keep your word. Psalm 119:71. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Finally, I need them, and I'll do it. You motivated me to do so by affliction. Psalm 119:75. These are all Psalm 119. 119:67, 119:71, 119:75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. And then finally, Psalm 119, 107. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Indeed, likewise, Paul would suffer to learn obedience, even as it says of Christ himself, and would submit entirely to the will of God as a man of destiny, as the premier servant of the church age, the age of the great secret, wherein Paul's gospel, which is found in Romans, along with the great mystery found in Ephesians, would fill full the canon of New Testament truth. Better call Saul, better call Paul, to do the job he was created to do. To represent and implement the blueprint and schematic of the chief architect, Jesus Christ, to build the church. As the wise master builder, Paul calls himself the wise master builder, 1 Corinthians 3:10, the plan, purpose, and will of God from all eternity in an age of mysterious truth, published the great secret of the ages for the maximum glorification of God, hidden in God, as we're told, from all eternity until it was disclosed to this one man. The one set apart from the womb of his mother, as we're told, chosen by God to reveal Christ to the world, to every nation on earth and all generations, until Christ comes again. In Galatians 1:15, Paul writes, "But when God, who had set me apart out from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the nations. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas." The reason he did that is because the Damascenes wanted to kill him, and they let him down over the wall in a basket. And he fled, and he was only there 15 days, because when he got there, the believers wanted to kill him. 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Then he says in verse 20, "Now in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God I'm not lying, Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, went home to Tarsus. Stayed there for 8 years. I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing, "He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy." And they were glorifying God because of me. So far we got to Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Then he says, he's addressing those who are holy. He calls all believers holy. Every believer is holy. Even as he is holy. You've been declared holy because of your relationship, because of your association and union with Christ. You're holy. Holy, holy, holy. Hagios, you're holy. Indeed, we're holy, set apart by the holiness of the Holy One, in whose presence the seraphim, the angels, cannot help but cry out continually, "Holy, holy, holy." Did you wake up? Good. Holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord. In Isaiah 6:1, I always like to read this because it's such a marvelous passage. You know, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim, six-winged angels, stood above him, each having six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew around. And one called out to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." That is Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies. And like him, by him, because of him, we are holy. Since all that was unrighteous and unholy was paid for on the cross, and all of it removed from us, yes, it has been, in order that we might live a holy life. Once we get a hold of what's ours in Christ and open our blessing box, filled with the Holy Spirit, saturated with Holy Scripture. What does it mean to be holy? It means you're filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with Holy Scripture. How many times have I said that? And I know some of you get it and some of you don't. You have to be filled with the Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit? You just recognize that He is indwelling you, and that the purpose for your life and time is to glorify God. And then you have the Holy Spirit filling you. You present your body each day to Him for the renovation or renewing of your mind, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, you walk in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, and then you're not, and you can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Galatians 5:16, 20, 24. So, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. We are holy. All that is unrighteous or unholy has been taken from us, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, saturated with Holy Scripture. You and I belong, therefore, to the secret society, the holy family, the church, which is the Holy Family Institute. Anybody ever run across the Holy Family Institute, some Catholic organization? I say, that's us. And the church is not an organization. What is it? Yeah. It's an organism. It's living. It's alive. Each local cell and each part of the whole. So, that's you're holy. Then he says, those, tois, being, participle, present active, dative, masculine, of I, me, those being in and Ephesus. Ephesus, this is the encyclical. This was a letter that was written, and it was addressed to each of the churches that Paul had, and a copy of it was sent to every church. The one that they recovered was the one addressed to the Ephesians, so it became known as Ephesians. And it was sent and circulated among all the churches. It's called an encyclical. It was circulated to all the churches. So Ephesus, and then he says, those who are holy in Ephesus, and then he says, and pistois, faithful, and faithful, in Christ Jesus. All are holy, according to our passage, set apart from sin unto righteousness, unto personal, progressive, experiential sanctification or purification. That is, to rid you of certain things that are harmful and hurtful and sinful so that you can be happy and please God by receiving His grace. All of this God does as the believer makes himself available to the Word and the Spirit in Philippians 2, 12 and 13 and Galatians 5, 5. He waits. God wills and works and He waits. Hebrews 2, 11. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one Father, one family. For which reason He's not ashamed to call us His brothers. All are holy or set apart, according to our passage, but designated here that not all are necessarily faithful. Why? You're holy, but you're not necessarily faithful. To the faithful, those filled with the Word, those who believe the Word of God, they are the faithful, those filled with the Word, apprehended, assimilated, and applied. Faith, hope, and love. Making progress in the trifecta. That's the trifecta. Perfect trio of the spiritual life. The apprehension of truth, hope, the assimilation of truth, and love, the application of truth. Those who believe in Christ, who are likewise equally honoring and believing the Word of Christ, which was given to Paul. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:37. If anyone thinks he's a prophet or a spiritual man, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. Paul didn't make them up. But if anyone does not recognize this, he's not recognized. Pay no attention to him. There are those who only recognize the words in red. Have you ever run into anybody like that? Or only the King James Version of the English Bible? And they say there's no other Bible that's accurate except for the King James, and the King James is not accurate in so many places. And full of archaic terms that nobody understands, and words that the definition has changed on over the years in its etymology, so you can't rely on it that way. You can only do it in the Greek. There's still tools and clear and very precise vehicles for translating or exegeting the Greek language, Koine Greek, the language that the New Testament was written in. There are those who recognize only the words in red, and therefore they are not recognized by the Lord and shouldn't be recognized by God's people. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me, from who? From Paul. Oh, the audacity to say that. The things you've heard from me. He must think he has some kind of authority. He does, the authority of God's Word as an inspired human author of Scripture. In the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men. We want to do that here. Who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, for no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. You don't want to be a pastor because you'll be thought of, or it will be said of you that you don't care about everyday things, problems. You can't. You're not allowed to. You say, well, that's a good excuse. It's a truth. You can't be. So that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. You get bogged down in the details of life. You can't please the Lord. He needs your attention. He wants to show you things and tell you things and give you things. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. He can't run out of bounds. He can't cut across the field. He can stay on the track as laid out. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive the share of the crops. That means a pastor has to be paid and other things. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. What did he say? Consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Really? That must mean that Paul's writings are very important. They must be as important as those of the Lord Jesus, which he says next. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment, as a criminal. No big deal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. It's a trustworthy statement. Since we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure or suffer with him, we will also reign with him. If we say no to him with regard to reigning, he'll say no to us. If we are faithless, so you could be a faithless believer. All are holy, but not all are faithful. If we are faithless, oh, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny or say no to himself. Our Nehemiah means to say no. It says deny. It means deny, but it means to say no. He can't say no to himself, to his own essence and nature, to his own promise and declaration of truth in his word. He can't lie. Orthodoxy, that means proper understanding and teaching, demands verbal plenary inspiration. Every word is inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, breathed out by the Spirit, with scrutiny and every test of canonicity to see if it belongs in the Bible, of text, context, and content. All must be met to prove it is indisputably genuine. That's how you got your Bible today. That was done. People guided by the Holy Spirit. There are serious problems with all the so-called pseudepigrapha. Those are the extra-biblical books that some people are so interested in and want to read and say, oh, they belong to them, like the Book of Enoch, which is not the original Book of Enoch, something that was fashioned long after Enoch was around, for sure. That is, after Christ it was fashioned. The Gospel of Thomas and or the entire Apocrypha, all of which fail the test at many different levels. The test of canonicity. What we have in our Bible is the genuine article. So stop looking for other writings, as so many do. When so much of that which you have before you remains unknown, undiscovered, and certainly unused. So get it in your soul. If you do, when you do, you'll think, speak, choose, and do differently, and will be numbered among the faithful. Not only the holy, but likewise the faithful. I said all that to say that. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. For not all believers have faith. Well, they have faith in Christ, but nothing beyond that. Now Ephesians 1:3. Here we go. That was 1 and 2. Here's Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Here we have eulogetos. Eulogetos, where we get our word eulogy. Eulogetos, from logos, you, good speech, literally, good speaking, as an adjective, is a blessing conveyed by speaking. It is to be spoken well of, and or worthy of praise, meaning worthy of praise, is the God. It's translated here, blessed be the God, although it's not directly translatable into English that way. Blessed be the God. Well spoken of or worthy of praise is God, the God, and Father, Pater, of the Lord, of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Indeed, he is blessed and worthy of praise by all that he is and by all he has done, all of it, quintessential perfection. All that God does is perfect in every way. Then it says, who? Who indeed? Who did it? God did it. God the Father. Who indeed? The Father, because of our relationship to and association with the Son. That's why. Then he says, eulogesos, from eulogeo, once again, this time it's a participle, as a verb ending in ing, it becomes sort of a noun. It's blessing bestowed by speaking. Eulogeo is the Greek word from which we get our word eulogy, or to eulogize. I've done more than a few funerals, two kinds. The kind where people vow till death do us part. And the kind where we say, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and put them in the ground. And then there's always someone appointed to say nice things about them, whether they're true or not. Usually not too true. They say he was a good husband who hadn't cheated on his wife in years. Or a good dad, though he never disciplined his children, never led them to faith in Christ, never took them to church, taught them the word, but only indulged their every whim and gave them everything other kids had. And as a result, they turned out worse than the old man. Far worse. So did you get that? Eulogized. You don't want to say, you can't say anything bad about him. You should say something decent or nice about him, but don't go too far. Make sure the other people know the issue, the great issue of life and death, and preach Christ. Because we are associated with Jesus Christ, the Father speaks well of us. He blesses us, and he views us favorably as he does the unique Son. You better believe it's because of Jesus, and not in any way because of you and me, because you don't have what it takes to evoke the blessing or blessedness that God has bestowed. It is due to Jesus, and it just so happened you got in the way. That's tongue in cheek. You believed in him. Now, it's because of the Father, for his glory and pleasure, that you are in Christ Jesus, who is everything for you that pleases the Father. He is. Then it says, the Father who blessed you, blessing you, with every blessing, eulogia, every blessing, all categories and denominations, blessings. Two general categories is blessings for time and for eternities. Earthly blessings of, for example, stability, wisdom, understanding, discernment, faith, hope, love, humility, self-control, etc. Those are blessings for time. And abundance with generosity and hospitality, those kind of things. Capacity for adversity and for prosperity. Those are blessings. Devotion, cheerfulness, cheerful endurance, godliness with contentment, which is great gain. Then there are the heavenly blessings, ones that require a glorified version of yourself to receive or utilize them, or these would blow your mind and cause you to blow up, to explode, because they exceed all natural capabilities. These are described in 1 Corinthians 2:10. They're called things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man. The things that God has stored or prepared for those who love him, those are stored in your blessing box. Like terrestrial real estate, which some will receive. You'll be an owner of land, terrestrial and planetary real estate, and mansions of glory. Authority over angels. When I said mansions of glory, did you think of Bruce Springsteen? I did. Mansions of glory in your suicide machine. Anyway, privileges, proximity to Christ, along with treasure and pleasure without measure, with continuous ecstatic joy. That's what awaits you. That's what's in your box. And he says spiritual. They're spiritual blessings. All of them are spiritual, having spiritual content and substance, spiritual meaning, spiritual satisfaction, reality, related to knowing Christ and enjoying him. That's what it's all related to. Then he says, in the heavenlies. That's eperonios, which means literally upon heavenly, literally, or of or belonging to heaven. That is upon going there or being there. That's where you get these. All of them of heavenly origin and composition. Not natural or earthly. Not as they are here. And then he says spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And then he says in Christ. That is all of it. In, by, and because of Christ, who is the source, who himself is God blessed forever in Hebrews. Not Hebrews, Romans 9:5. Here we have our blessings spoken and allocated, some for time and others for eternity. Held, as it were, in escrow or in a blessing box, awaiting the maturing of the beneficiary, benefactor. Galatians 4:1. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. No, I will not use the Beverly Hillbillies analogy. In this analogy, God is grantor of an escrow. The believer is grantee, and Jesus Christ is the escrow officer. Assets placed in escrow or in your blessing box are under what's called relation-backed doctrine. They always belong only to one, to the heir, until the conditions are met, and if they are not, they remain in escrow and can never be reassigned. Can't be reassigned. They're always going to belong to you. Whether you get them or not is another thing altogether. In the case of a believer who forfeits his eternal blessings and rewards slated for him, they will be enjoined rather than enjoyed. Enjoined rather than enjoyed. That means they won't be held. Stored in the Museum of Lost Opportunity as a testimony to the grace of God that provided equal privilege and opportunity, so many wonderful things, and also demonstrating how much was lost of all that coulda, woulda, and shoulda been owned and enjoyed by the resistant believer. So don't be a resistant believer. And how is that accomplished? Here we go. This will finish up our message in the next 5 minutes. Get the word. How many times do I have to say it? How many times will he say it? Listen to this. Maybe somebody will get it today. Get the word first thing every morning. You can't go wrong if you do. This will start a chain reaction. The results from the one needful or necessary thing in Luke 10:42. That's what Jesus called. He said, there's one thing. You sit at my feet and learn. You see, he's not here. The heck if he isn't. His spirit lives within you. And he lives within you. I can assure you that there are those sitting here today who rarely, if ever, now listen, if it's you, don't keep a poker face. There are those sitting here today who rarely, if ever, get a solid hour in each morning before they do anything else. Good face, good poker face. As your brother in Christ and friend, I'm telling you, this is what meets the conditions of the escrow. It's the key that opens your blessing box. It's the tithe or first fruits of your time each day. That's what he's talking about in Malachi. He's not talking about giving money. And guess what it'll do? Open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too great to contain. Malachi 3:6. You can just write this down. You don't have to go there. We're running out of time very rapidly. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, and if it's true for them, how much more for us, are not consumed. From the days your fathers from the days of your fathers. You have turned aside from my word and have not kept it. Return to me. What do you mean? To my word. And I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing too great for you to contain or until it overflows. I love this. He says, go ahead, test me in this. Go ahead, I dare you. And see whether or not I'll pour out great blessing upon you too great for just you. This is how he says it elsewhere. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision or reservation for the flesh. Be filled with the Holy Spirit continually, Ephesians 5:18, and let the word of Christ richly indwell your heart. See, these things, this message, will carry you a long way. I'm telling you, on the authority of God's word, that it will change your life. You'll open, it's the key that opens the blessing box, so that you see all the blessings for time, and then when you get into eternity, the exceeding great blessings of eternity, which are only given to capacity, and capacity is created here, not there. It's created here. And the Lord will, in the meantime, open the windows of heaven for those who tithe their time. Only your time. Everything else follows. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. You don't worry about stuff like that. That's why preachers don't need to keep talking about money. They need to keep talking about getting the word, not talking about money. Oh, so you want the people's money. Is that what you want? You don't want them to be blessed out of their socks. Have their blessing box open so they get every spiritual blessing slated for time and then afterwards for eternity. And where you will hear the pastor that teaches this way will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. The other one better be afraid, because after he's preached to others about their tithe, he will be disqualified for his reward in eternity. Oh, he'll be saved, like so many believers also, like one escaping through a flame. Nothing else matters. Jesus called it the one needful or necessary thing. If people are trying to make dinner for Jesus and serve him by working so hard, grumbling and complaining at every turn. Mr. Grumble. Remember him? Yeah. I've seen him before. Sometimes he looks like me. For no reason. I know better than that. And God reminds you right away. He'll smite you right away. That's a kindness when he does. But anyway, so that's how it works. Doesn't work any other way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for an encouraging message about our blessing box and how we open it up. The key is the word of God. Getting the word of God first. It's paying your tithe to the Lord. He can't help you. He can't teach you unless you give him some time. Preferably every single day. Remember what they did with the manna? They had to gather it morning by morning as much as they should eat for the day. And you can't hold it over because it's rotten and filled with worms. Yesterday's manna can't help you. You have to get it for today. Each and every day. I know most of you know this, but there's others that don't. And they think, they wonder why everything in my life is just not the way that I would really like it to be, and why I'm so oriented to myself and so miserable, because I am my own worst enemy. And I don't want to be anymore. I'll turn to the Lord. He'll show you how to do that, how to escape that treadmill, repetitious difficulty. Father, we just thank you for all of these things. If I could have Vicki, please, and if I could have my ushers. Father, bless our offering today as we have taken in your word and not giving out of a sense of obligation, but celebration for the things that we've received and are rejoicing in today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.